well. I asked you all last week to write down some wishes for Christmas, and many of you responded, thank you, to start my new series called Wish List. Some of them were pretty intense, unanticipated by me, I guess, but I appreciate very much the answers. Some of them were kind of goofy, and let's start with some of the really intense ones, because these came from the heart. Somebody said, I want peace in my heart this Christmas. That's a great wish. Somebody else said, my marriage restored. Someone said, my son to stay with his rehab. That was their Christmas wish. To have my granddaughter back in my life, someone said. And then somebody said, a job. Now, those were some of the serious, intense wishes. Most of you, however, were like my dad. He's not great at Christmas. He got my mama a DVD for Christmas once, which is not a bad present, but it was a rental. And and we didn't own a DVD player, so it's a terrible gift. But some of the things that you all submitted were kind of cool, too. Somebody said, I want this for Christmas. Now, whoever wrote down kitten and put it in my pocket, you realize that that thing grows up to be a cat, right? I'm just checking. And then somebody, there's some surprising wish list items. Somebody wished for some Ziploc bags. I'm not judging anybody's wish. That's a very practical wish. And then somebody came through with a brand new Corvette. So I'll make you a deal. You get a Corvette, I'll trade you some Ziploc bags and 45 kittens for it. How about that? So I decided I'm going to put some things on a wish list for Christmas, but I want it to be totally different. I like all other preachers. We enjoy Christmas, but we struggle because the Lord ain't given us any more pages to our Bible than we had last year or the year before that or the year before that. So to go over the same scriptures every year, which I did, I decided to do something different. Oh, I forgot one. I thought this was cool too, Terry. Let's show that one. Somebody wanted a potty-trained toddler. Now, I got to be honest. I don't know if they already have a toddler or they're wanting one to come ready-made. I'm not sure. And is Denise here? Denise, you're here. I did my annual Sky Mall research because I think Sky Mall offers the best gift for Christmas. And last year I mentioned two figurines that had these big noses and you could hang your glasses on them overnight. And Denise, bless her heart, surprised me at Christmas with those figurines. So I thought I'd just try it again. Here's some Sky Mall ideas. For you all who struggle with what do we get the preacher this year? Here we go. The remote controlled tarantula spider. I want that very bad. I do. I don't want a snake, Charlie, the spider. How about the portable infrared spa? I see myself in that during church staff meetings when they're in chairs. Just soaking it up. Now, if you ever leave your cat with me, and I'm not sure why you would, I think I better get one of these litter robots. You just stick the thing in there and you're done. If anybody's really going to buy me anything, though, and I'm not opposed to that, it's this last gift that I would suggest. I can't grow a beard. This is the beard hat. It's a hat and a beard all in one. I could use that for Christmas. So I thought about all those things. None of those are what I wish for you this Christmas. My wishes are a little bit off the beaten path. And they're going to take me time in each sermon to explain where I'm at. My first wish is for everyone to always give God the benefit of the doubt. And I'll tell you why I wish for that. Joseph, his consideration of all this is what got me to thinking about this. Matthew 1:18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This is before Joseph knew what happened. He just knew his to-be wife was pregnant with somebody's baby. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind, that's the key phrase, to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She'll give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. A phrase jumped out at me after he had considered this. That tells me after Joseph did the math, after he calculated his next move, God spoke to him. See, he had already considered, how am I going to handle Mary in this scandalous situation while I'm hurt, wondering, who has she been with? How am I going to handle this? After he considered this, then God spoke to him. It leads to my first thought. Joseph gave God, and I only got two, by the way. Joseph gave God the benefit of the doubt. It's contrary to our logic when God speaks to us. It always has been mine. It contradicts what I see generally when God asks me to walk by faith. So God is saying to Joseph, I know you're confused. I know you're bewildered. I know you're hurt. You got to have questions. And then verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. All this took place to fulfill. I know this is hard. I know you have questions. I know it doesn't make sense. But all this took place to fulfill. The Apostle Paul wants to get in on that with Romans chapter 8 when he says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. All this, the parts you like and don't like, the parts you understand and the parts that keep you awake at night, the parts that feel good and the parts that leave tears on your pillow. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet. And the story ends in Matthew 1:23, at least this part of it. The virgin will conceive. We can stop right there. That'll preach. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. That's how my Bible reads. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's do a little history, and then we'll get real practical with this. By the time you get to Matthew chapter 1, I don't know what I did with my Bible. That's bad. Terry, is my Bible sitting back there on that table or anywhere? On the ledge, is that it? Can you run it up here, brother? This is my favorite deacon in the church right here, deacons. You know why? Because he's bringing me my Bible. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it. For the time you get to Matthew chapter 1, and Malachi's prophecy ends, at least in my Bible, there's a white, blank white page. But that blank white page represents, anybody know how much time? That heaven was silent. I mean nothing from God. There it is. 400 years. That page right there represents 400 years of silence. Silence. What's next? You sent the law, they broke that. You sent the prophets, they didn't listen to them. Well, now after 400 years of silence, guess what? No more law, no more prophets. Here comes Jesus. And you start with the family tree. 14 generations between Abraham and David. We talked about that last Christmas. 14 generations from David to the Babylonian exile of God's people, and 14 more generations between the exile and the birth of Jesus. 42 generations of frustration and failure and hopelessness, and all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. We can't get to God on our own, so Jesus becomes the ladder, not from earth to the sky, but from the heavens to the earth. Man, I love this. I love that the Bible says Joseph had in mind what he was going to do, because it reminds me, whatever you and I have in mind may not be what God has in store. Can I have an amen for that? Whatever you have in mind, it may not be what God has in store. Joseph can't see a way forward. I mean, he wants to be Mary's husband. We know how special Mary is. Joseph has to be looking forward to having her as his wife. And I can hear him wrestling with this. I love her. I've already put money down on the venue. We have the music. We have the preacher. We've sent out the invitations. I don't see any way to go through with this because she has a baby and it's not mine. And she says it belongs to the Lord. This kind of jumps off the page at me because of where this story is in the Bible. It seems like heaven and the scriptures and humanity was at a dead end. And Joseph was at a dead end. And then what happens? Jesus shows up. So all week long, we talk about our culture and the day in which we live, and none of us understand how things can be the way they are now and just how far down that slope of immorality and godlessness we have watched ourselves slide. here we are. And honestly, to do what I do sometimes, it feels like a dead end. I don't know what this world is coming to. I don't. All I know is who came to this world. And guess what? There's going to be a time, maybe after some period of silence, when God says to Jesus, it's time to go again. And it's going to be different the next time he comes. The first time he came in poverty, the next time he comes in power. First time he came to die on a tree, the next time he comes to take his throne. First time he came to redeem, the next time to reign as King of Kings. First time he came on a donkey, the next time a white stallion. First time he came, he stood before Pilate. Man, have the roles reversed, because the next time Pilate will stand before him. First time he came to a cradle and a cross, the next time to a coronation. I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throngs. The flurry of God's trumpet spell the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding. Heaven's grandstand's all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled. Start to sing Amazing Grace. And when I feel like all hope is gone and there are no more answers and I don't know where to turn and it's always a dead end, I remind myself the King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding. Now his face I see. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. I admire Joseph. He didn't just give God the benefit of the doubt. That's the second thought I have. He gave Mary the benefit of the doubt. Now chew on this for a minute. This is some real life stuff going on here. How many of you guys be able to do that? I don't think I could. I mean, the angel comes and speaks to Joseph, and he's like, cool, whatever. If that angel spoke to me, that angel better be Maury Povich with a paternity test. I mean, I'm going to need to see something, some kind of divine DNA on this baby. Not Joseph. He just did what the angel told him to do. I must have a bad version of the Bible, Kurt, because there's got to be something missing in my Luke account. So I thought, you know what? There still are some people who bring their Bible to church, even though we put the scripture on the screen. I better cross-reference mine with somebody else's, because I'm missing something. Anybody have a Bible? Hold it up. I'll come to you. Terry, you got one? Oh, we got one over here. Yay, brother man. Thank you. Oh, it's a cool Bible, too. It's got a nice cover. It's awesome. Let's see if anybody's going to have it in his Bible. It's this little guy. His name is Noah. He built a boat. You've heard of him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Let's see if you have it, because I don't have it in mine. I just want to cross-reference here. You don't have it either, Noah. I'm looking for the part where the angel showed Joseph proof. Can't find it. Maybe somebody. Charlie, let me see your Bible. If anybody's got it in their Bible, it's Charlie. Right? I mean, this has to be. Thank you, buddy. All right, we got a.
Forget the pictures.
Yeah, we got a recipe to Skyline Chili right there. I don't know what that's all about. Let me look here in Luke, and I bet Charlie's Bible has it. Luke 1. Cross-reference this. Charlie, you don't have it either. I'm looking for the part now where it tells us how Joseph felt about all this before he did it. Can't find it. Let me try somebody else's Bible. Somebody hold a Bible up. I thought Charlie's would have it. Let me come all the way back here, Chloe. Oh, this is going to be a pretty Bible. No, not really. Okay, let me, oh good, you're already there. Good job, girl. This ain't even your Bible, is it? Whatever your name is, boy, I like this Bible. Thank you. I can't find it here either. I'm looking for the part where God opened the sky and said, no, really, this is God's baby. I can't find that either. And Chloe, you need to pay more attention than being with that boy and handing his Bible to me. So. It's interesting to me. I mean, think about it. He doesn't say boo. He doesn't say boo. And it's not because it's not recorded. It's because he doesn't say it. What? What? Nothing. Why? Because he gives God the benefit of the doubt. And he gives Mary the benefit of the doubt. And the only way to give Mary the benefit of the doubt now is to give God the benefit of the doubt. There are those times in life where you didn't get to prepare. You weren't able to think it through before the event or the circumstance came. You couldn't do any homework or make yourself ready. You couldn't, like an engineer, sit down with a piece of paper and a pencil and work through it all. It just came. You couldn't handle things the way Herman and Agnes did. They're my favorite old couple. He's 80, she's 79. They're going to get married. So excited. They're out walking and talking about their wedding, and they passed by a drugstore, and Herman said, "Let's go in here." And Herman said to the pharmacist, "Can I ask you some questions?" And the guy said, "Sure." And Herman said, "Do you sell heart medication here in your pharmacy?" And he said, "Sure, we do." He said, "Well, do you sell medicine for rheumatoid arthritis?" "Well, of course we do." He said, "Well, do you sell vitamins and sleeping pills and geritol and antacid?" The pharmacist said, "Absolutely." "Well, do you sell wheelchairs and walkers?" "Various sizes. We have them all." "Well, how about adult diapers?" "Yep." "Viagra?" "Yep." "Perfect," Herman said to the pharmacist. "We'd like to use your pharmacy for our bridal registry." That's doing your homework. That's where Joseph was. He gave God the benefit of the doubt. Honestly, sometimes life hits you so fast and things change so quickly, you don't get time to sit down and work through it. You all know this is an arranged marriage, right? You've heard me preach this story for years now. It's an arranged marriage. He did not get to date her for 3 years. He didn't get to choose her based on her profile. There's no ChristianSingles.com or ChristianPalestinians.com or whatever it might be. He got stuck with her. And now she's pregnant. Man, oh man. He didn't get to do his homework to check out his bride? To give her the benefit of the doubt? He trusted God enough to give God the benefit of the doubt. Have you ever read the exact definition for benefit of the doubt? I kind of like it. A favorable judgment in the absence of full evidence. It means that when it doesn't all add up, the variable, the one constant, is God. Listen. I've already drawn the conclusion in my life that God is good, he is for me, and he is with me, and everything else will have to fit into that. I get cancer, I lose a child, all those things that can happen and have happened, they have to fit into this. God is good, he is for me, he is with me, nothing will ever change my conclusion. That's my verdict. So whatever the evidence says, I find greater evidence in the death of Jesus and all that God has done for me. When I can't reason through why something bad happened in my life and I can't make sense of it and I'm tempted to blame God and I'm tempted to be angry and I'm tempted to quit, guess what, church? God gets the benefit of my doubt. On days when my faith is running low and pain is running high and the temptation is just to walk away from it all, guess what, church? God gets the benefit of my doubt. I don't always see it, but I believe it. I feel like doubting it sometimes, but I believe it. The Bible doesn't say Joseph didn't have doubts, and it's wrong for us to come to that conclusion. He had doubts. Of course he did. He just did what God asked him to do, even though he had doubts. I guess it's because of my occupation. I was in a pretty, I won't call it deep, because it didn't matter. We were in a long, drawn-out debate, and the guy that I was debating made a comment that I've heard before, and I should have challenged. He said, "I envy you." I wrote down what he said. "I would love to have faith. I've always wanted to believe in God, but I'm the kind of person who's skeptical and doubts." And here's what he said. "I envy you because you have no doubts about what you believe." Here's what I should have said back to him, and it only took me 4 months to come up with this. He's assuming that faith is the absence of doubt. You don't think that, do you, church people? I hope not. Faith is not the absence of doubt. It's the means to overcome it. Hear what I'm saying? Faith is not the absence of doubt. We get into church sometimes and we're like the walking dead, willing suspension of belief. And sometimes it's like we're binging on Netflix when we're here. And I'm going to watch this for a little while and hear this comforting word. And then we go out in the world and we have doubts. But we can't tell anybody because we believe doubt is bad. Listen, the triumph of my faith is not the absence of doubt. The triumph of my faith is the ability for the light to shine in the deepest, darkest recesses of my heart. I got doubt. I do. But I trust him. So my faith can say, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or the shadow of doubt, I will fear no evil. It's not that I don't walk through valleys, I just don't die there. Even though, say it with me, church, even though. Throw me in the fiery furnace, those three Hebrew teenagers said, our God will save us. But then what did they say? But even if he does not, even if we trust God. Say it with me, church, even if. I know Lazarus is dead and been dead 4 days, but when Jesus is on the scene, even now, Mary and Martha, even now, it'll be okay. Say it with me, church. Even now, even though, even if, even now. I hope this doesn't shatter your faith in your preacher. But to be honest, if you want someone who has no doubts in your pulpit, you got the wrong guy. If you're not doubting it, you're not reading it. Or you're reading it with no intent to live it. Because the closer I get to God, the more questions I have. I struggle to accept that I'm forgiven. I struggle to accept grace and mercy. I have my faith, but I have my doubts. I've read that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation, and the old is gone and the new has come. Well, that verse is still in progress in my life. There's still some old stuff that comes out in me. Comes out in traffic. Comes out in the drive-thru at McDonald's. I've read, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Sometimes I still feel chained down by my past. My oldest daughter is sitting back there when she was little. Like 4 or 5, it started early. She asked several people at church a specific question. And do you know what those dear church people told her? Go ask your father. Well, she did. And then she qualified the question with what I would have given as the answer. So I was stuck. Here's what she said. Where'd God come from and who made him? And don't just say he's always been there. So I'll give that one to you all. What you going to do with that? What you going to do with that one? She took my answer. She took my he's always been there answer. I realized this is heaven's gift of mystery to my daughter. And it's the start of a journey of faith and patience that's shrouded in mystery. I can't tell you where God came from, not without telling you he's always been there. I can't tell you when Jesus is coming back because that's a secret God said he'd keep to himself. I can't tell you why God's blessed me with such an awesome church family and had his hand on my life since I was a kid, and I feel like he has. I can't tell you. It's a mystery to me. And if I ever have some doubt creep in, I'm telling you because of all God has shown me, he will get the benefit of my doubt. To take Mary home, even when you don't know where this is headed, Joseph. I didn't give Jazz a cookie-cutter answer. I just told her, hey, I wonder about the same question. So before the angel spoke to Joseph, he spoke to Mary. Spoke to them separately, which is interesting. Wouldn't it have been easier to set them both down together and say, hey, let me tell you two a story. Here's what's going to happen in your lives. But no, talk to them separately. And this sets up next week's message and helps us finish this message. He talks to Mary, and let's work through this a little bit as we close. Luke 1:28. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. That's a good way to start when you're about to tell her what you're about to tell her. Right? It's kind of good to pour that foundation. Hey, the Lord is with you. You need to know that before I tell you what I'm about to tell you. The Lord is with you. But look at what we read after the angel said, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words. Okay, church, troubled at what? All he said so far was, hello, God likes you. She should be fist bumping. Cool. What's she troubled at? She knows something's about to come. What's this all about? The angel says, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. I have an assignment for you. Here's the assignment. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You'll conceive, give birth to a son. You're to call him Jesus. He will be great. Called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now watch Mary's response. Well, let me ask you, church, trivia. What's the first word out of, oh, there it is. Sorry, Terry. Well, you all know now. The first word out of Mary's mouth. How? That's the right word, isn't it? How? I know how pregnancy works. How? I promise God, Joseph and I, we've been keeping it clean. We haven't been in the back seat of a Camelback for a long time. How? How? I love that. Not praise the Lord, I'm the one. Not glory to God, I'm going to be the mother. How? How? That's a good response when God knocks. How can I really be forgiven by someone who died on a cross before I was ever born? How can God really use me? Look at me. Nothing special. How? How can I move forward after what just happened to me? How can I ever have hope again? How can I ever rise above my circumstances? How? How? The greatest gifts that God ever gives us are on the other side of your how. On the other side of I don't get it. On the other side of I don't understand. On the other side of who, me? On the other side of what now? On the other side of why this? That's where the gift is. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. A gift you would walk right by had you not known what it was. Because the greatest gifts that God gives are wrapped in doubt. That's what I believe. Man, if God gave me proof, I wouldn't need faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Doubt is where my faith has developed and my faith has matured. Doubt is where faith gets me past cliches or bumper stickers, and I learn to depend on God even in my doubts. I usually close with a story or an analogy or an illustration, and I like to do that. I don't have one today. So let me just close with an invitation. At Christmas, sometimes we'll sing, O come all ye faithful. How about this? O come all ye doubters. How about that? O come all ye doubters. I think if God were here today, he would tell you, and I know the Lord is with us in his presence and spirit. If he spoke, he would say, this invitation is for the nobodies and the could-have-beens, the disillusioned and the doubters. Every life train wrecked by sin, every down and outer, for the lonely and the one who's weak, the foolhardy with a stubborn streak, for the soul who doesn't even know what they need, for the mixed up, messed up, broken people like me. The coolest, most amazing thing about Joseph is not that he was the father of Jesus. The coolest thing about him is the coolest thing about you and me. It's that he was a child of God. And over and over and over again, God has proven to me, at least to me, he deserves the benefit of my doubt. Amen.